And as usual, we are awaiting any kind of a home improvement question you may have. Call us or text us, 651-461-9226. Andy Lindis, good morning to you.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing quite well. I was thinking this past week, actually the past couple of weeks, how lucky I am, or we are at this house, to have leaf guard gutters during this monsoon season occasionally. And I would imagine that Lindis Construction has been getting maybe a few more calls about leaf guard gutters. Am I right?
Yeah, you know, and what was funny is this week we had people that work at Lindis Construction and customers get a hold of us and say, you know, a decade ago when my house was brand new, the trees weren't big enough to clog my gutters, so I just put on regular gutters. And so I think four times last week I heard that in phone calls to me because their gutters were overflowing and now they're silver maples. It was always the maple tree. Helicopters was the uniforming thing with these people that tried open gutters a decade ago because the trees weren't big enough. And we've all seen, you know, where these new developments go or new houses are. Chances are there's not a lot of trees there. But eventually those trees get big enough. And this week, you know, we had some, you know, we haven't had an all-day soaker rain like we had this week in a long time. So the gutters filled up. And even the sales manager of Lindis Construction is one of those people, and now he's getting leaf guard. But he was up on his ladder cleaning out maple seeds, and he had the bigger downspout with the wide mouth that goes on it, so it handles a higher volume of water at a faster pace, but it's still clogged, and it was still 5 inches deep of water on a 50-foot piece of gutter overflowing into his landscape, up onto his house, and might have wrecked a couple of flower beds, but, you know, yeah, you know, you build a house and you're buying your first house or a new house, it's tough to spend money on those types of things. So I understand, you know, from a budgetary constraint, people do that, but it doesn't take trees as long as we think. They just have to get about gutter height. And, I mean, or even look at the gutters wrong, some gutters and the clog. But it was a handful of maple seeds and right in the downspout there that had clogged it all up. So luckily he wasn't up on the ladder for too long in the rain, but still, not a fun process to go through.
No, and we talk about it from time to time, how dangerous it is getting up on that ladder. It may seem simple at the time, but all it takes, fraction of a second, and you're in the emergency department, if you're lucky. This gutter system we talk about, this leaf guard gutter system, tell me again about how much, well, I know from experience, but how much rain can that handle? Because you got those nice wide
inches of rain, 32 inches of rain per hour is what it was tested at with the Good Housekeeping Institute way back when. So I've never had a problem with water getting inside the gutter. If I try to go too long of a distance to one downspout, I've had some overflowing issues, just like a normal gutter. But as long as we're putting the proper amount of downspouts on the house, there's not a rain that it can handle.
And I mention it from time to time because it happened at our house here close to 30 years ago. You don't have to buy all the gutters at once. If your budget only allows you, you know, this section or that section, you guys do that all the time at Lindis, don't you?
All the time. And, you know, I got a phone call from one of our people at a house, and it was the fifth time we were out there to put the last piece of gutter on the house over a decade. So it really, no job's too big or too small. We can start with the ones that clog and work our way from there. But I'm telling you, we always show you what it costs to do the whole house up front, because that's what you're going to want eventually. You're going to like your gutter so much, eventually you're going to do the whole house. But there is no minimum with any product at Lindis Construction, and any contractor worth their salt should be that way too. Like, we shouldn't be worried about doing a job too small, because those small jobs lead to big jobs almost always for us, because they're going to like my people and like the results.
Yeah, absolutely. I was talking to someone who's in the real estate business in California about insurance, homeowners insurance. And of course, that's a whole different world there. But is it? What's happening? And you know, you address that insurance question from time to time here on the show. What's happening about us here in Minnesota and Wisconsin?
You know, Denny, I haven't been kind to the insurance industry as a whole. Almost, you know, we've probably had this question, I don't know, 20, 30 times over the last 4 years. And it's usually, I'm not happy with the insurance industry, what they're paying out on claims. But I have to give credit where credit's due. With one particular carrier that I haven't been kind with over the years is State Farm. And they are doing as good a job as any carrier of pushing their clients now at a fortified class four roof, which not all shingles are able to pass that testing. It's one thing to pass class four testing, but to get added to the list that the fortified roofing system is using with the hail variation for fortified, it's a tough thing. And if you do that, State Farm, we had a client this week say that they're giving that client a 28% discount on their premiums. So once I found that out, what was going on, I reached out to everybody in the insurance industry that I've ever met, and I sent them a text. Hey, State Farm, because, you know, what are they? They insure, I think, close to a third or a quarter of the homes in America. Mm. So the other insurance companies tend to follow State Farm a lot on what they're doing and when they're doing it. So I'm hopeful now, because I've seen, you know, if you're paying $6,000 a year, almost 30% off your premiums, that's real money. That starts to make a lot of sense. And like on my in-laws' house, you know, we moved my in-laws from Monticello last year. They had a hailstorm there. And now they're living in a townhome. Well, that townhome got hit. And I was on that house. But luckily, there's Lindis GAF roofs on both sides that don't have hail damage from the storms that came through last week. But this Owens Corning roof right there has damage. Well, it's a twin home. And now their poor neighbor is going to have a $4,000 deductible. They're going to have a $2,000 deductible, and neither one of their neighbors have to pay anything. All three of those roofs were installed in 2022. So, again, yes, a little bit more money to get a Class 4 fortified roof, but if you're getting a roof right now, you owe it to yourself to at least get that price. And I was at one of our people was at a commercial building, and their deductible, Denny, this is the biggest deductible I've ever heard for hail damage, and I knew it was only a matter of time because a lot of our commercial insurance policies have switched to your deductible as a percentage of the insured value. This building happened to be insured for $3.5 million. So the deductible was $65,000.
Oh, man.
On a roof that is going to maybe be, you know, it's not a small roof. It's a giant building. So the roof is going to be $100,000, $110,000, somewhere in there is my guess. But $65,000, where 4 or 5 years ago, that was a $3,000 deductible.
My goodness. Wow.
Yeah. But I'm positive I'm telling you, the more people that go to Class 4 roofs, the more people that are using impact-resistant shingles and installed in a fortified manner, the better off we all are. The reason our insurance rates have gone up is because way too many of us have gotten two roofs in a decade. And that's wrong. Like, the insurance company is not going to continue to lose that way. So I'm happy with the way that they're going. We are fortunately ahead of the curve because it's the only way we've done roofing for about a decade now.
Yeah. Well, congrats to them, you know, for seeing that. And it really helps everybody, them too. Andy,
correct.
Hang on. We need to take a quick break. We'll come back on the other side. If you have any kind, can be about gutters, about decks, about roofing, whatever your home improvement question is, call it in or text it in. 651-461-9226. Right now in the Twin Cities, we've already hit 70. 70 degrees right now. We are on our way to about 88. Still some chances, some showers today, tonight, and tomorrow. And if you're looking ahead on July 4th, which is Friday, they're still talking about a 40% chance of showers with highs near 83. We'll fill you in on more weather details as we move through the morning here on Newstalk 830 WCCO. And a good Saturday morning to you, the 28th of June specifically. Denny Long back with Andy Lindis from Lindis Construction. We're taking, as usual, your home improvement questions this rather wet Saturday morning. Expecting to dry out here. Still have some chances of those showers, Andy, here and there. Somebody, we have always get new listeners, and we're grateful for that here on the show. This texter has heard you mention Class 4 shingles, but maybe they want a little definition. What is exactly a Class 4 shingle?
So when a shingle gets labeled a Class 4 shingle, it means it's passed a third-party institute on impact resistant, meaning that they're going to shoot 2-inch ice balls at it. And should it hold up to that test, it will get the Class 4 designation. There's also a Class 3 designation, but I think Class 3 is something made up by the roofing industry because some of them couldn't pass Class 4. So they wanted to give it some type of designation, so it is a little bit of an impact resistant. Now, once they go through that testing, the fortified testing is a whole nother ballgame. They're going to work even more at it to make that happen. So like all of the Class 4 shingles, only a third of them in the marketplace that I can get right now have qualified for a fortified Class 4 roof. So that those are some things that you're going to have to talk about with your roofer. But I can tell you this, GAF roofing as a whole, not even just like the GAF Class 4 roofs. I was really impressed with how the HGZ, which is the lowest line of shingles that you can get at GAF, held up to the hail that we had last week. So again, not all shingles are created equal, but as long as you're talking to them about a Class 4 shingle, and this is the difference, Denny, too. There's some of them are asphalt shingles, and they still have the Class 4. They beefed up the matting and the amount of asphalt or the type of asphalt that was put into that shingle. The other Class 4 shingles, the ones that I like to use and use almost exclusively, are the SBS version of Class 4 shingles. So it's not really an asphalt roof. It's more of a rubber roof. And heck, Lucas Trickle, he's been one of our salespeople for as long as anybody has. He was on one of our jobs this week, and the siding looks like Swiss cheese, Jenny.
Mm.
It looked like someone took golf balls and just hit him against this house. But the roof, there's not a mark on it. And I'm very confident. Yes, if you get cue ball size hail, not all hail is created equal either. Some of it is soft, so when it's hitting, it's exploding and not puncturing the roofs. But you get baseball or that type of hail, 3-4-inch type hail, there's not a single type of roofing out there that's going to hold up to it. But that's not the hail that we normally get. Majority of the hail that we see is marble size. Like that's the pictures we're seeing on the storms this year. The majority of it is marble side. That's why 98% of the roofing that we've inspected in the last 20 months because of hail that we've installed has had no marks or no need to make an insurance claim. That's the really, really important part. Armor Shield 2, Grand Sequoia IR impact resistant from GAF are the two shingles that we use almost always, unless it's something special or we're trying to match something or, there's going to be circumstances where you use all different types of roofing. But those two shingles, I've been very, very impressed with. And I look at new shingles with GAF every year, but I'm telling you, as soon as they make one that performs better than those two, I'll switch, but they haven't yet.
What have you said about GAF? Is this, I don't know if I want to say a local product, but is it at least a regional product, GAF?
Yeah, you know, GIF is made in Minneapolis, and a lot of the shingles come from the Michigan City market as well. And they, and you know, to be honest, they wanted to extend their factory in Minneapolis in order to do more, but they're building another one in Kansas because they couldn't get it, the folks to agree to letting them expand and build. You know, we're a little gun shy in Minnesota over these plants getting built with forever chemicals and everything. So the Kansas is where the next one's going to get built, and that's not going to be online until 2027. And it's why there's a shortage of Class 4 shingles around the country, no matter the manufacturer, whether it's Owens Corning, CertainTeed, GAF, Tamco, IKO, Malarkey. Every single major manufacturer of shingles in the country is struggling to make enough Class 4 shingles. And that makes me smile. The only reason why that there's not enough is because more and more roofers every day, and more consumers every day, and more insurance companies every day are demanding that's the type of roof that they're going on. I'm not the only person that thinks of it as a you know, we always want to point out one thing. Like, why are insurance rates going up? The evil insurance company. No. Why it's a combination of bad contractors, bad insurance companies, bad manufacturing. We, you know, when we install something that can't last 5 years, that it's not just one thing that it's making this type of change. There's four or five different factors. We're all guilty of installing bad materials, especially if those materials are failing at the first sign of hail. Like, we have the ability to install better and better roofing every year. And there's new installation techniques on how we're putting it down, what we're doing. GAF came out with a great new starter strip this year.
What is that?
It's really, really awesome. So the starter strip is just like I said, where you start to install your roofing and your shingles. That the starter strip goes there. And usually what we would do is we would put tar there in order to glue the shingles down at the edge or up the rakes or the peak of the house. But now the starter strip actually has a peel and stick option. So we put down the starter, then we pull up the peel and stick, and now the shingles right when you lay them. So now you're getting a true 130-mile-an-hour warranty. And I saw GAF this week came out with a video at the Hale Institute in Florida, where they put on a roof with that starter strip and the Duralast grip and without nails. So no nails went on, and it still passed the Hale Institute's testing for wind, or the Hurricane Institute's testing for wind, which is pretty impressive. So it's not just the nails that go into the roof. All the glues, the starter, the ice and water, everything that you do plays a factor.
Well, that makes sense for everybody along the line, including the insurance company. Andy, hang on. I'm getting a bit of a word here. We need to have a look at that forecast. But let's invite our listeners to join in. If you have any home improvement question, we'd love to hear from you, either by phone or by text. Here's the one number we'll get you either, 651-461-9226. From News Talk 830, this is WCCO. Good morning. Welcome back to this portion of our home improvement show presented every week by our friends at Lindus Construction, L-I-N-D-U-S. I haven't spelled it yet. If you have a project in mind, maybe you want those gutters. Maybe you want that new roof that we're talking about, or siding, whatever the case may be. How about windows? 844-9-LINDUS, 844-9-LINDUS. Call them this coming week and let them know what you want. That first visit is always free. Andy, here we are toward the end of June. What kind of deals can still be had at Lindus?
Well, going into July is going to be 75% off of labor on the installation of LeafGuard gutters, Infinity Windows by Marvin, and GAF Class 4 roofing. That's about as good as a deal as you're going to get. We might have some special deals at the State Fair this year, but we're going to kind of wait. But if this last hailstorm is any indication, our schedules are going to be really tight and booked up shortly. So if you're in the market for any type of home improvements, I would get on the horn soon and meet with one of our estimators and go from there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because the longer you wait, we're going to be talking about installing stuff in the spring before we know it.
And you mentioned the magic phrase, State Fair. It's kind of hard to believe, but it's almost July. And they're just talking weeks away. Wow.
Well, we just got a bunch of, had to submit all our stuff for approval for giveaways because, you know, Lindus is the sponsor for the WCCO building this year. We will have people at the WCCO building every day, as well as our normal area in the grandstand. So we're going to have contests, and there's going to be some pretty awesome giveaways. We're going to be giving away a large home improvement project every day this year at the fair. So we're really excited about that. And all of our partners in supply houses and manufacturers have really stepped up to the plate and pitched in. And I think we're going to be putting those JAF solar shingles on the actual building there at the fair so people can see what they look like and how they work.
Well, you, Lindus, has done work at that particular spot as well. That's a great location, too, all these years. Yeah. Well, that's great. Yeah. That's coming up.
Right next to Sweet Martha's Cookies.
Yes, which is dangerous. That's a whole nother subject. Andy, I'm looking at a text.
What's wrong with eating a whole bucket of cookies, Denny? I mean, the state fair only comes around once a year. There should be no guilt over eating a bucket of those cookies, but boy, every year I do feel it.
But, you know, as far as guilt, they're nice and warm and squishy, and you walk off those calories anyway. It's a state fair. You're going to walk around.
Yeah.
So I've already rationalized it right there. Now, a texter says this. They have a swing set like we used to have here many years ago for Tony. If you consider a swing set part of home improvement, yeah. How do you clean rust off the slide? Now, I have no idea how much rust is on this slide. But, I mean, if it's kind of minor here and there, what do you do? I've used like a drill bit with like a steel brush, you know, something like that.
Uh-huh.
Or sanding disc, you know, depending on. So I'm not sure how much rust is on this. But what would you suggest if it's here and there rust?
If it's here and there rust, you know, you're going to have to use some type of sandpaper. I mean, maybe it's just surface rust, but you're going to have to use some type of sandpaper. And I wouldn't try to paint the slide either because that's just not going to work out well for you. But you should be able to get down to the bare metal with a, like you said, they make those, it's almost like a disc, a steel, you know, steel wool disc for a cordless drill.
Yeah.
So you just put it in and it's circular and you should. Now you might have to use an actual random order bit sander, get different types of sandpaper, but it sounds like sanding is going to be in their future. And it's not fun because that wrecks your clothes. It wrecks everything. It can, I'm guessing that's why it's gotten called. Somebody came in from hitting a slide and little Billy's brand new shorts were completely brown with rust, and now someone has to figure out how to get rust off of a slide. You know, you don't see that very often. I do see that aluminum oxidizing, on the regular or whatever, the stainless steel oxidizing. So like even when you rub your hands on the slide, it turns your hand completely white. We see that a lot, but not a lot of rust on those types of things. You know, the new grandson. I'm becoming an expert in all things playground equipment, and if you we're going to get to talking next year. I'm going to have a playground set up at Grandpa Andy's house where, you know, they make those little bobcats and little backhoes and little dump trucks and that you actually drive around. Oh yeah, Wade's going to have access to all of that. He's going to be an equipment operator at a young age. As he should, you know, the line that he comes from. You know, the other side of his family is all farmers and tractors and. You think that those tractors, they pretty much drive themselves. I got on good authority that a lot of times when they're picking that corn or beans, they're watching Netflix because the tractor's doing most of the work.
That's true. How things have changed. Yeah, it's true that when he was born, you know, you guys didn't buy him onesies. It was a tool belt. You know?
So correct.
Yes, I know that drill. I'm looking at other texts here. Oh, at the earlier part of the show, if you just joined us, we were talking about leaf guard gutters and all the rain. This listener via text sent this text. How do you keep the debris off the intersection of my gutters?
So like an inside corner, a lot of times that's the valley area is what I'm guessing what they mean by intersection. So that part of the roof, like those valley areas, if you're having tree debris sit up on your roof, chances are, no matter the type of gutter, even the you know, there's 30, 40 different types of leak protection you can get, chances are they're going to sit on top of the gutters. Now, for me, if you have a deflector in that area, so some valleys have a very high volume of water, and those deflectors can catch debris and build it up onto the roof or open gutter. Like, this is where we see gutters clog all the time or gutters leak all the time, because that's where debris sits. It's, you know, a backpack blower, or what I've seen, like with the little hand-operated blowers, where people have actually made PVC pipe that extend up onto the area of the roof where you don't have to get a ladder out. But with that blower, with some homemade extension tubes, does a pretty good job of keeping the debris off of that area. But that goes for everything. The amount of gutters I saw this week that were growing trees, and the amount of debris I've seen on roofs, that the last time when the hail came through was last Thursday in western Wisconsin and eastern Minnesota. That hail brought down a ton of leaves. And I'm still seeing roofs with leaves on them. Like, we wait sometimes for the wind to blow those off, and it just doesn't work that those are going to wreak havoc sooner or later. They're going to clog something or make something leak, or it's going to hold water up on your roof or moisture up on your roof, and now you're going to get algae growth up there. And when algae starts to grow on your roof, it really does cut down on the lifespan. But inside corners and outside corners are the two hardest things to handle when it comes to guttering. They're notorious leaking. I saw we had a text about leaking. OSI quad caulking makes a really good silicone that you can install underneath the water that will stop the leaks. I've seen that happen. But if you get up on your gutters to address a clean out a corner or fix a leak, and there's water sitting inside your gutter still, that means they're not installed properly. Unless it's raining, there should be no water inside your gutters. But a lot of these open gutters, especially the open gutters that have a leaf protection device over the top of them, are hung level. They need to be hung level because the gutter covers that people are using go installed to the roof. So you can't drop the gutters one way or the other. For us, when I install a gutter system, whether it's our open gutters or leaf guard, we're going to, on a 4-foot level, we're going to make the bubble touch the line. What that means is, on a perfectly level home, that's about a quarter inch every 10 feet of drop that we're going to get towards the downspout. So you don't want the water sitting in there, because the more it sits, the heavier the rain gets, it's going to find that level, and that's when you get the overflowing. But more importantly, it eats away at those corners. So if you have leaky corners, almost always when we go out and look at those, the gutters need to be rehung or sloped in a proper manner, because the reason why that corner is leaking is because water is sitting in there.
How do you do that? How do you, not necessarily you, but I know you've done the work, or your workers measure to make sure that drop, how do you figure that out?
Well, we're going to see which way the house slopes first and foremost. Is the house is going to go one way or the other. Almost always. It's never going to be perfectly level. And then, so we're going to take our level and we're going to chalk a line, and we're going to follow the chalk line. And once we tap the gutters on, we don't, you know, put every fastener in until we again check them with the level. So really, it's a factor of checking three things to make sure that once water gets inside the gutter, it is able. And Danny, we give people a lifetime leak warranty, a lifetime no clog guarantee, a lifetime workmanship warranty, a lifetime finish warranty. When your product is backed by warranties like that, and those are warranties from Lindus Construction for the most part. We are the manufacturer of the product. Like, the warranty goes to us first, and if we fail, then it goes to the manufacturer. And 30 some odd years that we've never failed at a warranty claim. But over the years, we've learned we have to do every one of those steps in order to be able to give people those warranties. I'm not putting those warranties on a gutter that I know is going to fail. So it's the installation techniques are very, very important. And we have a lifetime ice damage guarantee. If it ever pulls loose or disforms anyway because of ice, we fix it for free. So you need to make sure once water is getting inside the gutter, it's getting outside the gutter. And you need to make sure that every corner is hung perfectly and sealed perfectly with the right sealant. I think the last time we tested caulking, 16 or 17 different types of silicone we tested in cold weather and hot weather in order to come up with the one that we're using every day. Not every tube of caulk is created equal. We'll just leave it at that.
Oh, interesting. Well, I know you guys do a lot of testing for a lot of products. Andy, hang on. We need to take a real fast break. We'll come back and pick up on more questions from our listeners at 651-461-9226 from News Talk 830. This is WCCO. Good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to our Home Improvement Show presented every week by Lindus Construction, L-I-N-D-U-S. Call them, 844-9-LINDUS. Well, Andy, we have a few minutes to go in the remainder of the show. Texters, we have questions to get answered here. A couple of them I want to get to before we run out of time. This is really a comment. This listener uses a roof rake, like you use for snow, to get the debris onto the valleys by their gutters. What do you think of that process?
Perfectly fine, yeah. It's probably a better use of a roof rake than the snow.
Yeah. Is a roof rake, that can damage, I presume, shingles over time, maybe just once if you do it wrong.
Yeah, it all depends. It seems like the damaging of shingles is when people start beating on their roof because of an ice dam, and they just go too hard or using the wrong tool where you start to damage the roof. What you have to be careful with the roof rake is the granules of the shingle themselves. If you wear on those at all, or you pull some of those granules off, what you have to remember is that those granules are there for one reason and one reason only. Well, aesthetics, yes, but they're to deflect the sunlight. Without those granules, it opens up the shingle of the asphalt or SBS or the matting itself to the sun, and that's where you start to get shingles that are cracking and curling and drying out. So, like on this last hailstorm, there was some granule loss. Is the main thing I'm worried about, more so than impacts. So you just got to be careful. Just go light. And if you can get something smaller that just fits in the valley, might be a little bit better off that way. Or just make sure you're not dragging it across the roofing in a manner that can mar it or scar it. And the warmer the weather, the hotter it gets out, the easier it is to mar that roof. It doesn't take a long, like just even walking on the roof. Was it last week or the week before we had those? Was it last week? And that was 105 or 104 degrees out, Denny.
Amazing, yeah.
Those types of days, it's really easy. Just walking on the roof, you can leave footprints across the roof, the shingles, because they get that warm, and the granules themselves start to pull loose. And when that happens, that's bad. So I see it all the time. We repair roofs on the regular because of marring and damage to the shingles. So just be careful, and you should be okay.
Okay. Looking at a text that a listener, they put in, evidently we recommended on the show, this is 3 years ago, a patio door. And their question is, could there be a warranty on the screen still? And the other question is, does Lindus do repairs and replace if needed for a fee? How would you handle that one?
For us, if the screen has a lifetime warranty. So if it's a window we installed and you wreck the screen, we come get the screen, rescreen it, and put it back in for you. And when it comes to repairs, we do that all the time. I don't know what patio door. Did they say the brand of patio door?
No, it doesn't say at all. No. And it sounds like they installed it themselves. I don't think Lindus did.
Well, like a lot of the hardware stores, your local hardware stores, and those screens can be removed. So if it's just the screening part, there's holes in the screens, that can be fixed. Most patio doors, too, if it's the actual frame of the screen, more than likely you'd be able to order a new frame or a new screen part for that window. But if you can't, you can take that screen off the door. In the frame yet, go to your local Ace Hardware, and for a very nominal fee, they rescreen them for you. They have that there. We have that at Lindus Construction as well. If you bring your screen door to Lindus Construction, we will definitely screen it for you, and it would be a very nominal fee. It's not a lot of money. And all the window manufacturers we work with, because things happen during shipping, I imagine, you know, 200 windows getting shipped from War Road to you. You know, they're in a semi-truck. Stuff happens. Marvin does as good a job as anyone in the world does as with packaging and shipping. Having said that, every now and then, a screen gets a couple holes in it. So every manufacturer that we work with, we have rolls of screen at Linus Instruction so we can fix those screens before we send them out into the field. Or we screw up every now and then, loading them from the warehouse to our trailers and from the trailer ride to wherever you are in Minnesota or Wisconsin that we're going to install. We've had some accidents that way where we have to then bring the screen back home and rescreen it. So it's not that big of a deal. It doesn't take that long. On average, rescreening a window is a 15-20 minute process. So
yeah,
not
a big deal.
Not when you have the right tools and we have the table and the tools to do it. It's pretty easy.
Yeah. We have a couple of minutes to go in the show, Andy. A listener sent this text, a couple of things. What products do you like for treating an existing 2x6 treated lumber deck? That's one. And if I decided to cover my existing deck, what composite products do you suggest? Let's tackle that first one. What do you like for treating an existing 2x6 treated lumber deck?
First, I like the Behr's Brightener and Conditioner, BEHR. I think that's the best brightener and conditioner that I've ever used. So once you clean the deck, and especially with the treated deck, that's really, really important. You're not going to get all those pores to open up anyways. And Penofin makes the best stain for treated lumber that we have found yet. So, but just anticipate, this is something that you're probably going to have to do every other year because you're not getting the penetration that you normally would, say, on like a cedar deck. Because it's a treated lumber, so it's more of a surface stain, which means it's going to wear off faster than the rest of them, especially in like high traffic areas. But make sure your deck gets completely clean, hit it with a brightener and conditioner, let it dry out completely, and then Penofin makes a specific stain for treated lumber. And Sickens makes a one too, and it's not bad, but I've had better luck with the Penofin product than the Sickens product.
And Andy, we got 30 seconds or less. If I decide, Texas says, to cover my existing deck, what composite products do you like?
Millboard. It's the only one I truly, truly like. And we have a lot of people that use AZEK, but I wouldn't choose that for my home. I just don't like the way it looks. I mean, they have great track record for warranties, but aesthetically, it's not for me. For me, it goes millboard or cedar decking or one of the exotic woods. Stay away from any of the PVC products out there because of the expansion, contraction, and the warranty claims most of the PVC products have. It's just not worth it for us.
Good. Andy, we've got to scoot. Thank you. Happy 4th of July to everybody at Lindus, and we'll talk a week from today, and you stay safe.
You too. Take care.
Thanks very much. Andy Lindus from Lindus Construction. Yeah, Denny Long, thanking you for your company. Ryan Perpich, thank you for all the hard work you do. Expect a chance of showers yet today in the Twin Cities. In the meantime, 70 degrees. We'll see you back here next week.